Blog Talk Radio. I am on the air now. Sorry about the delay. Welcome to this episode of the Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed here on Blog Talk Radio, and I am your host, Thomas Dwayne Smith, or T.D. Smith for short. And as I posted on my Facebook page, due to an out-of-town speaking engagement, Dr. King had to cancel her interview until next Tuesday, the 13th of December. At the same time, she'll be on at 5:45 Central Time, 6:45 Eastern, 4:45 Mountain, and 3:45 Pacific. So stay tuned for the updates of that show. She's actually going to be in my part of the world. She's flying in tonight to do an event down in Wichita, Kansas, for the Kansas Black Republicans. So that's what's going on with that. So all the guests in the chat room and everybody else, you're welcome to stay and listen to my little monologue for a while, or if you want to take off, that's fine too. Just like everybody else, I'm frustrated, irritated, and there's a few other things been going on. So, actually, I'm going to address some things. And if I want everybody, regardless of where you stand on the issues, I want people to call in because we're going to talk about some things tonight. Something that hit me today when I was thinking about the plight of Herman Cain. And I'm going to point out some things that's going to stun you. So, dear Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, thank you for the guests that have showed up. And I pray, Lord God, that you would just comfort Cain and his family in their time of need. Father, I give you glory, honor, and praise for the words that are going to be spoken. And I pray that you just touch his family and you protect him and his loved ones. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, amen. There's no fear in love because perfect love casts out all fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I'm going to stop right there for today with those two scriptures because I want to share something with you. And I'm going to just say it, and I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to leave it at this. I'm going to stun you guys at the same time, but what I'm about to tell you, I'm not going to go into any more details than what I'm going to say, but I'm going to say this. The announcement that Herman Cain made Saturday, that was not his original announcement. And I'm going to leave it at that. Yes, let me repeat that. Herman Cain's announcement for suspension of his campaign. That's not what he was going to originally announce. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Now I'm about to hammer something home that it hit me like a ton of bricks. Where were the NAACP? Where was Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, the Congressional Black Caucus? When this stuff was happening to him, where were they? They were silent. Where was Colonel Allen West, level of pieces? They were silent. Nobody in the entire GOP presidential field came to his defense. And that's not even the worst. Where were the Christians? Specifically, where was the Black Church? I'll tell you where they were. They were sitting at home on the sidelines because they're in bed with the Democratic Party. And you know what? I am angry. It's okay to allow a man of principle, a Black man of principle, to be slaughtered like that as long as he's conservative. But if it was a Democratic Black man that was happening to, you'd have seen Al Grease Monkey Sharp coming out of the woodworks. Have never despised anyone that is despised. Sharp, rock bottom. He looked right at my heart. I can't wait. Doesn't have to stack over dim. Into the
you're nothing, all of you are nothing but a bunch of cowards. Never went with the crowd. But now everybody's wanting, well, we gotta vote for whoever the candidate is. I'ma think long and hard about that. Because Mitt Romney, New fell off the face of the earth. John Huntsman, confused, Bachman, Rick Santorum, far down on the totem. Herman Cain was the man in this nation.
Okay, you guys should be able to hear me now. You know, I come and I go. And you know what? I'm so sick. I'm so sick of this stuff happening to me. I'm sick of this stuff. You know, it's almost like the liberals. They like to censor conservatives and they think they're keeping us down. My computer's been acting like a piece of crap all night. I mean, hours. It's been crashing on me all day, literally, even though I still had internet connection. It's still been crashing on me. And technology may be able to silence my voice on the internet and through this radio show for now. But when I hit the speaking circuit, I promise you one thing. I'm going to piss off a lot of people. And you know what? Quite frankly, I don't even care anymore. I have to, real quick, I have to go take my cornbread out of the oven. Yeah, there you go, the old cliche, black man baking some cornbread with some tilapia fish too, but it's all good. So I'm going to play Never Give Up by, actually, I don't think you guys have ever heard my it's my pro-life anthem. And let me find it. It's called Let 'Em Live. And it's about the innumerable, massive amounts of aborted babies that have taken care, Anyway, I'll be right back. And for those of you, I'm going to warn you, this is a Christian rap song, gospel rap. So you might want to cover your ears if you don't like rap, but it's a good song. So.
Yo, this is your boy, G-Ski Rocks. And this is going out to the lovely, lovely women of the world. I know sometimes you have to make a hard decision, but I want you to think about this.
Welcome back to the Visible Conservative, Christians Unleashed. here on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Thomas Dwayne Smith, or T.D. Smith for short. And as I was saying before Skype went out on me earlier, I have a major problem with the silence of the black church. I have a major problem with the silence of Christians in general. When I say Christians, I'm talking Christian leaders. I'm not talking those of us who are grassroots. I'm talking those that put themselves up there to be holier than thou and almighty, but yet they let a man get slaughtered like that. And we as believers wonder why the world treats us the way they do. I understand Jesus said that the world will hate us. I understand that. But when we cannot even come to the defense of our own, what does that say about our character? My question actually is, what character is that? We have no character. What kind of character or principled person would allow a man like Herman Cain to get slaughtered like that? I'll tell you exactly what kind. The kind of man that's in bed, or woman that's in bed with the individuals that's doing it. The black church is in bed with the Democratic Party. Because they throw money at our churches. I have a problem with that. Why was it okay for Bill Clinton, John Kerry, back in the day when they were running? Why was it okay for them to speak in black churches, but equal time wasn't given to the Republican candidate? Why is that okay? I'll tell you why it's okay. Because conservatives have been okay with the status quo. We've been okay with the double standards. We've been okay with them doing whatever the hell they want to us because, oh, we were told by them that we have to play nice. Folks, I'm done playing nice. I'm not going to resort to violence, but I do know how to hit people's bottom line. Start boycotting the businesses that lean left. And those of you doubting the resolve, or if that's even possible, one thing companies hate is bad publicity. MSNBC or MSLSD.
CNN, CBS, NBC, ABC. Fox News. They're starting to drink the liberal Kool-Aid. Actually, they're moderating. They're going to the left. I don't know if anyone's caught that, but Fox News is starting to lean to the left. Conspiracy theory for you. Could it be that someone told Rupert Murdoch here in America that if he starts leaning more to the left, that they won't investigate Fox News here in America for all the wiretappings that took place at his newspaper organization in Britain? Isn't it kind of funny how those things suddenly got quiet? But that's my conspiracy theory for today. I'm angry, guys. I'm angry because a man's well-being, his family, was hurt. I've been on the receiving end of that, and I'm not a public figure. Never have been a public figure. But a man whose desire was to truly make a difference, and he was taken out like he was a piece of trash. And they think that we conservatives are a weak bunch. They think that we can't defend ourselves. They think that we don't know where a lot of the things are now originating from. I got an assignment for people. I have a question now. I believe Loki still in the chat room. Hey, Loki, I have a question for you, and if you're hearing this, I need you to call in to answer this question. And also, for those of you in the different states scattered around the country that's listening to me, I have a question for you all. Does your state constitution allow for the recall of your U.S. congressmen and women, whether it's your U.S. senators or your U.S. House of Representatives? Because if your Constitution does, it's time to fight fire with fire. And for those of you who are about to say, well, that's really expensive, you cannot put a price on freedom.
And if we don't do something about it, you stick a fork in us because we are done. And as believers, it then may come down to bloodshed, our own. Let me share something with you. Folks, there are 7 billion people in the world. One of Agenda 21's goals is to reduce the world's population to 500 million. Excuse me, but are you telling me that those sniveling rats sitting in the United Nations want to get rid of 6.5 billion people? Yes. Yes. But I'm gonna tell you what. As long as there is a breath in my body, I will call on my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and He has my back. In Ecclesiastes, it says there's a time for war and there's a time for peace. Hey, Mr. Ron Paul, the Bible says that, bruh. So for you and your anti-war stance, your isolationism, it's not biblical, and you call yourself a Christian? Your fruit doesn't bear it out. Second, you say you don't want to legislate morality, that people should be able to do what they want to do. What the hell do you think it is when you legalize drugs? You're not legislating morality. You're legislating immorality. Duh. Immoral. Lack of morals. That's what that is. People already have a right to do what they want, right or wrong. But what they don't have a right to do, they don't have a right to violate my freedom with their stupid addictions. They don't have a right to come into my house or anybody else's house and slaughter them to steal money for their habit. But you guys don't seem to get that. You're so stupid to think that if you legalize drugs and prostitutions, then the use will go down. Are you really that dumb? And you're a doctor. Give me a freaking break. Give me a freaking break. And I'm going to speak to everybody in my room, in the chat room right now. White people, black people, Asian people, and any other race, ethnic background, whoever I've
forgot, didn't mention, whatever. Stop allowing the liberals to define who you are. You're not racist. And if you are, go deal with it. Grow up, get mature, and get over the stupidity. But stop letting liberals tell you you're racist. It was white people all the way back to colonial times that was fighting for the freedom of the slaves here in America. People read your history books. And I refuse to dishonor their memories and their sacrifices by being prejudiced, by drinking from the liberal milk. I'm not going back to the plantation because they don't run me. Billy, how are you?
Hey, Thomas. How are you doing?
I'm well, my friend. How are you?
Oh, I'm listening. Did you hear our show yesterday?
Which one?
The one where I talked about how ever since I was little, I was called a racist.
Oh, yeah, I think I did call in on that one.
Yeah. I was listening to you, and I was like, you are talking really powerfully.
Well, you know, this is what I do. This is my avenue, and this is, you know, this is my voice.
And,
so,
you know, the Ron Paul philosophy about, you know, bringing drugs and prostitutes into, like, the workforce.
Legalizing it.
Is his method of how can we reduce our unemployment rate? Well, if we make them legally employed, that will absolutely reduce our unemployment rate. And it comes down to, like, the Netherlands. It's all legal over there. So they have such a low unemployment rate, so to speak. But they also have a high health. You know, their health industry is a lot worse because they've got more STDs and more, you know, drug-related deaths and stuff like that, too. It just comes down to, I don't know, it's blasphemy in my book, a lot of it.
Right.
It's a way to bring the devil into the lives of those who try to reject him.
Right.
And try hard every day.
Right. Exactly. That is my whole point. That's my whole point about everything.
Yeah.
The absence of any comments from the black church is disgusting to me.
I always ask that too. You know, you've got the Cornell Wests out there and the Al Sharpton's basically declaring Herman Cain as, you know, not a black man. You know, they talk about him as if he's not even, he has no, what's the word I'm thinking of? Something in the game. He has no place in the whole black
political field
cause. He has nothing to say about the black cause because they act like he doesn't know what it's all about. When, you know, my big thing that I keep talking about, and I've said it to my husband probably since Saturday at least 10 times, is the epiphany of Martin Luther King's dream is shattered.
Yep.
With Herman Cain.
Right.
Not in the race anymore.
Right.
Because I feel that's what he was. He was the actual epiphany of that dream.
Right. That's
but
what I was getting ready to
say.
Go ahead. Sorry.
This is the big thing I was getting at with I had heard or read somewhere, I think I heard it on the phone when I was talking to someone at the headquarters today. They were talking about how when he was on the bus, you know, he had his speech. He said he knew what he was going to say, but all of a sudden he gets a phone call. He has a meeting that this person wasn't part of, and he starts jotting down notes, and those notes are what he took up on stage with him. And so it makes me wonder what the actual speech was going to be.
That's you heard my opening statement. What he said on Saturday was not what he originally intended to do, which says to me something was said. There had to be some type of threat, and that is the thing that pisses me off.
Well, it worries me, and it scares me to the point that, you know, what we could have seen Saturday could have been another situation to the point of either, you know, JFK or Martin Luther King Jr. had he said something other than he did, though.
Yeah, and you know what that says to me? You know what that says to me? That says to me that government needs to be taken down.
It does. We need to do it ourselves. We do. I have to say, we don't have to. We know that Herman Cain has his own agenda with his family right now. And while his back is turned, we still need to keep working until he turns back around and faces us again.
Right. No, the thing of it is, they think that they can get away with threatening people to force them out. Let me tell you something. They cannot kill 100 million Americans.
They can. They do it every, you know, in abortion. They do it all the time.
I'm talking already here. I'm not talking to babies, which you're right, they're doing it that way. But I'm going to tell you something. Enough people get mad and angry enough. It's ridiculous. And it's all from the Clover Piven, Saul Alinsky, Anton LaVey playbook.
Yeah, in fact, I gave in the dashboard yesterday, I was giving out a link to some good Saul Alinsky. You know how people can see where this is going with Saul Alinsky and such. And it even links to Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Hillary Rodham, I should say. It links to her dissertation and her.
Let's just call her what she is, and then then I'm gonna bring Richard on here. Hillary Rotten is a sniveling, conniving, smelly, stinking rat. You heard it here first. Actually, you didn't.
Well, I've never been that close to her to say how she smells, but you know who does really is that DNC chair. I can tell you that you can smell her a mile away with as much perfume as she always wears. Wasserman Schultz.
Yeah, she's an idiot. She has a nose so big that you can go ski jumping off of it. But I digress. So let me bring Richard in here. Hey, Richard,
okay.
How are you?
Hey, Thomas, you crack me up at times. However, do remind me not to get you upset, because when you go off, you go off.
Yep.
And by the way...
Well, guys, I just want to say, hey, I got to get going because I'm helping my kids with the gingerbread house right now. So
okay.
I'm still listening, though. Mm-hmm. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Love you,
bye.
Too. Bless you.
And what you were saying about Hillary... I got a couple of names for her as well that Boris had brought up. Hildebeest and Hitlery.
Yep. That would describe her to the T.
Yeah, I mean, like, and I'm still a little upset. As a matter of fact, I don't know if I had mentioned this to you, but I had... actually written a blog yesterday morning about the death of America.
Right.
You know, and as a matter of fact, what I put it on the dash, and what I'll do is I'll even drop it off in the room again, or in the chair, so even you can take a peek at it. you know, because I mean, what I had said in there is, I mean, it says mind opening. The media, the establishment, and the death of a good man is the title of it.
Right.
And I mean, Saturday was basically the death of America. I mean, there's nothing
no,
more
it wasn't.
To say about
don't,
that.
Don't even say that. Don't even say that, because here's the truth of the matter. It's like I was talking to someone earlier today. There's another aspect of, you know, of this battle, which for most Christians, they think that their job, they have only one job, and that's to pray, and then that's it. They done their jobs, then that's it, and they go home. And wrong answer. When you pray, then you shut up, you sit down, and you let God give you instructions of what you do next. Once he gives you those instructions, you don't sit there like a bump on a log. You move forward, you follow directions, and you kick butt. That's what you do. But for whatever reason, we as believers, we have retreated within the four walls of our church, saying, well, thinking, I will be glad when Jesus comes back, and songs like that. Why would Jesus come back when we as believers, we're not doing what he asked us to do? You know the scripture in the Bible that says he's coming back for a church without spot or blemish?
Yeah.
You know what that scripture means? Some people say, well, it means he's coming back when everything is perfect and when the church is perfect. And wrong answer. That scripture actually means Jesus only comes back when the church has fulfilled what he's told us to do. And we haven't even begun to fulfill the obligation. We're supposed to be the light, the salt of this earth. We're supposed to be the preservatives. When in fact, we're part of the problem. We sat back in the pews like a bunch of cowards. And I'm sorry to be blunt, but that's exactly what it is. God gave us the authority to what? Okay, question. Why did God say through Jesus in more places than one that if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and believe what you say, then it shall come to pass? He said that not once, not twice. He said it between 5 or 10 times or more in the scriptures. If it wasn't true, why did he say it? But I mean, what it is, God has equipped us as believers to take care of the situations, gave us the authorities, and we don't have enough guts to believe him for what he says. The man, God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us. So at least the little that we could do, we could just take him at his word and actually step out. What little sacrifice would it be for us compared to the big sacrifice that he did for us? And all he's wanting us to stand up for our principles, stand up for our nation. That's how we represent him, when we stand up for truth and righteousness and stand up for those who can't defend themselves. And going back to Herman Cain, nobody in the body of Christ, none of the prominent black preachers, none of the prominent white preachers stepped to his defense. And quite frankly, that is a bunch of garbage.
What you just said brings up a very valid point, because Matthew 24:42-51 and all of chapter 25, you know, brings out, you know, just what just how we as believers should act, you know, when Jesus does come, because we don't know when he's coming. So, you know, we need to be alert. And I think I'm alone.
No, you're there. I'm just
okay. Yeah, I didn't hear.
I didn't hear
anything from you. From you, that's why I was just saying.
Right. And I'm gonna say this. Let me say this real quick. And this is for some folks in. This is for some folks in the chat room. My teachings, what I know in the Word of God, what I learned about the Bible did not come from denominations. My studying of the scripture came from my experiences and me having to dig into the word, me having to spend hours and hours and hours of praying because I was so angry that I wanted to go and hurt myself or somebody else. So please do not attempt to tell me based on something that you may or may not have learned from your denomination and try to influence me how to think. Because when I don't understand something in the scriptures, I don't go to a man. I will go to God in prayer, and then he will send confirmation through a pastor, a preacher, or just someone else in conversation. I'm not a know-it-all because I don't know a lot about the scripture, but what I do know about the word, I am confident in it. Now, this is not a theological debate because I'm not a theologian and I'm not religious. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that is a big difference. You have a lot of Christians who are religious, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because if they had one, they would know what the foundation of the Word of God is, and it's the love of God, L-O-V-E, meaning you don't always have to be right. You don't always have to know everything. You don't always have to have an answer, but you should always have a confidence of who you are in Christ. That's what it's about. But just like everything else in the conservative movement, Christians eat their own. They fight and divide it over a color of a carpet. Some denominations hate other denominations because these denominations operate in the gift of the Spirit? That's stupid. And quite frankly, it's garbage, idiotic, and it's dumb. I love Christians because I'm one myself. But I'm going to tell you something. It is time for us to grow up, mature, stop acting like the rest of the world, and really stand out and be what God has called us to be.
Yeah.
You had to hear that, Rick, but I'm
no
just saying.
No problem at all, you know. You had just said actually kind of reminds me a lot of what Jesus had said in Matthew 25:40, and the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the least of them.
Time out for a minute. Greg, Patriot Greg, I love you, brother, but let me tell you something. You don't know what I'm wrong about.
Oh.
Because until you walk in my shoes, do not presume to tell me what I'm wrong about. I understand your testimony. I understand what you came out of, what you endured. But brother, let me tell you something. You talk to me. Talk to me. When you have survived
incurable diseases, multiple heart attacks, dying as a child multiple times. Dude, do not tell me what I'm wrong about. Because like I said, I don't chase after someone just to find something, just to eat knowledge of the word. What I know in the word is to help better me and to speak positive to other people. And if I'm wrong, at the end of the day, that's between me and God. And this is where the problem is. We as Christians, instead of doing what we've been tasked to do, we think we got to be so much more right than somebody else. Personally, I don't give a rip about being right because I have been made righteous by...
Okay, this is a fine. How do you do? I don't know if anybody can hear out there. Test one, two, check, test. I wish I could, Brenda. I really wish I could. I mean, this. Oh, boy. Heck. So it is. Man. Oh, dear. I know just how that.
Okay, I am back.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that. See, this is why I think something is up. Someone has hacked my system, because when I get to talking about the Lord or I get to talking about liberals or something like that, my computer will suddenly go down, which that's what it did. But you know what? Like I said, we spend so much time eating our own that we don't spend time building up. And yes, I'm passionate. Here's the difference, though. Greg, I have no issue with how you believe. That's your business, and at the end of the day, I don't look down on you because of it, because you are my brother in Christ. But this is what I will say to you. Don't always be so quick and presumptuous to tell someone that they're wrong when you have not walked a mile in their shoes. That's what I'm saying. I cannot say that I walked through what you walked through, but I can tell you this. In this country, I've been through and I've endured things that people shouldn't have to endure. Yes, I have lived in conditions that resemble third world countries here in America. So this is why I have the perspective that I have, and that's the reason why I do not judge others. I tend not to judge others. What I do, I call evil evil. And in a nutshell,
the Obama administration, the man himself, is one of the most evil, cold, and most calculating individuals I have ever seen.
Hmm.
I'm just, you know what? I'm tired. I'm tired of all the infighting among conservatives, and I'm tired of Christians being cowards. When we have the power and the authority to bring about change through Christ Jesus. And oh, by the way, let me educate you guys on a little something. There's this old saying throughout the church world that God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants. But here's a problem with that. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, man was redeemed. This earth, this world, is still cursed. Therefore, just like the devil has his vessels that he works through, people like Anton LaVey, Saul Alinsky, Clavered and Piven, Barack Obama, people have to, God has to have vessels to work through in this earth, because legally he has no right to this earth, because this earth is still under the control of the principalities of the air, the prince of the power of the air. Ephesians chapter 6. That's why God needs us to be willing to say, okay, Lord, here I am. He doesn't force himself on us. Satan is the one that forces himself on people. God is not a rapist. He wants us to come to him on our own free will.
You know, you brought up the term racist. I don't think it's much an issue of race, but I think it's just an issue of culture.
No,
you know,
it's... Man, I'm telling you. It's just one of those things.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, the reason why I bring that up is because, like, okay, let's say that you're hiring someone and you see a white man, you know, neatly dressed, you know, suit, tie, and everything, and then you see a black man with hat turned backward, pants down below his knees, you know, wearing a disheveled shirt, you know, who would you go for?
It would, and to me, it really wouldn't even matter. It really wouldn't even matter because, I mean, it is what it is.
Hmm.
And, man, I want to speak to Billy for a minute. Billy says in the chat room, when she was 12 years old, her grandma died. But 2 weeks earlier, she had told her, I wish I didn't have a grandma. Billy, I will say this to you, my friend. You have to forgive yourself for that. You was a child and you was lashing out in anger. And I'll share a similar story with you. In 1998, I was homeless in Kansas City, Missouri. And I used to go to school at the University of Kansas, went there for a year. And there was this basketball player girl there, beautiful. She was 6'1", blonde hair, blue eyes, sweetest personality that I had ever met. I used to rebound for her when she would practice her free throws. And, you know, one day she even introduced me to her parents. But at that period in my life, I had been rejected so much, and I was so insecure that I wasn't confident in anything. And I liked her. I wanted to go out with her and stuff like that. But she was a Mormon and I was a Christian, so I automatically rejected myself, you know, and I left school. Okay, so fast forward to 1998. I was in Kansas City, and I went to watch a basketball game. It was the KU women against the Baylor Bears. And she had graduated a while ago. She had went overseas and played professionally. And she was there. She had given a hug to all the girls. But when I had seen her, something inside of me said, go up to her, give her a hug, and ask her how she's doing. And I didn't, because at that point in time, I was homeless. And I was living on the streets. I had slept... I was sleeping in parks and stuff like that. And so fortunately, you know, I had a place where I could go, you know, go clean up. I couldn't stay there, but I cleaned up. And she had given a hug to all these girls on the team. And then she turned around and she looked at me with her arms crossed. And the look on her face was, are you going to say something to me or no? And I left. I didn't want to talk. I couldn't talk to her or anything like that. And for 2 weeks, something kept saying to me, call her up, ask her how she's doing and if she wants to go out to eat. I didn't do it. March 25th, 1998, 9 o'clock in the morning, they found her dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. I carried that around for years because of the fact that I didn't recognize within me one gift that God had given me a long time ago, and that was, somehow, I always had the ability to encourage and uplift people. But because I was in my own pity, I couldn't reach out to someone that I really liked. I didn't have the confidence to trust in the Lord Jesus to do that. And as a result of that, she died. I didn't have no direct involvement, but I had an indirect involvement. Because if I would have just been obedient, who knows what would have happened? She might have still been here today. But it took me years to forgive myself, and through God's constant grace and His mercy and love, I was able to forgive myself. So, Billy, this is what I say to you. God has forgiven you. Now you have to forgive you. And just surround yourself in the ever-present love of God. because he's not looking at your flaws. It's us who remind him of what we do wrong. Having said all that, I am down to 5 minutes. So, Rick, I want to thank you, my friend, for coming.
Not a problem, not a problem. Always good to be here.
I'm glad that you could come. And this song I'm dedicating, that I'm about to play, I'm dedicating this to all the believers in the chat room. It's my favorite song, Yolanda Adams. You heard it yesterday. And it's Just a Prayer Away. You have been listening to The Visible Conservative, Christians Unleashed, here on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. You all have a good night. But first, listen to this song.
One thing you should remember.
You have been listening to the Visible Conservative Christians Unleashed here on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank everybody who tuned in. And like I said, next week will be our rescheduled show with Dr. King, Tuesday the 13th. So you all have a good night. Take care. God bless and love you.